to examine yourself to see, make sure you're saved, because if you're not saved, then you will be rejected. You will be disapproved. Are you saved tonight? That's a good question. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity once again to open the pages of your inspired and infallible Word of God. I pray that you'll direct my thoughts this evening. Help me to be mindful of the will of God. And I love you for it. Lord, I praise you for saving last Sunday morning Joshua and saving Amber this morning. Lord, I'm grateful to you for that. And I just pray you continue to move. I believe you're going to allow us to see others get saved. And Lord, give people, dear Father, the understanding, and give them, dear Father, the reality of what they need. Lord, I pray, help them to be honest about it. Help them to be humble about it. Help them to be hungry to get some help from the Lord. And Father, I just ask you now to guide my thoughts. I pray for the Spirit of God to control my mind, control my words. I want to say every word that you want said. Put a guard about my lips. May there be no fair show of the flesh. Lord, allow us to get into that river and into that flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the service. Not for show, not even for emotions, but so that you can do a work in our midst. Lord, may this be the greatest service we've ever been in. Lord, may this be the service that God, you do such a great and eternal work in our hearts. And I'll thank you for it as we wait before you. Speak, Lord, we're listening. Our focus is on you. We need you, and we're waiting on you. Have your way now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. And again, I say from my heart, I appreciate all of our visitors being in the service with us again tonight. Several come back, and we're honored that you are here. I mean that. I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm not just sounding religious or even pastoral. I mean that. We're grateful that you're here, and I hope that you know that we mean that. The Bible says here in verse number 5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. I've been preaching on the subject of the examination of salvation. Giving ourselves an exam. Giving ourselves a thorough investigation, a personal investigation, because I know you've seen it as we read this verse, the emphasis of the word yourself, your own selves. Twice it said your own selves. So there's an enormous emphasis in this one verse about you and I giving personal attention to whether or not we know the Lord. And as I mentioned this morning, nothing on the top side of this world is more important than that right there. Eternity is going to depend on the answer that you come up with in your own heart based on the revealed Word of God. Now remember, I thought about it some more this afternoon. Remember that God, my friend, expects us to examine ourselves based on the standard. You remember I gave the scholastic example. 2 + 2 = 4. You know, and if you try to put 6 or 10 or 25 in there as an answer, you're wrong. Well, what gives anybody the right to tell you that you're wrong if you say 2 + 2 = 10? Who gives you the right to tell you that that's wrong? The standard. And it's a standard not just for me. 2 + 2 = 4 for me, and 2 + 2 = 4 for you. Amen. So the standard is not, just selective. 2 + 2 = 4 just for these people. Or 2 + 2 = 4 if you want it to be. We're in this day where people says, develop your own value system. If it's right to you, then it's right. If it's wrong to you, then it's wrong. It don't matter if it's right for other people or wrong for other people. It don't matter. Just as long as you, it's right for you. You know? But we've got a standard. We've got a moral standard. The Bible is the final authority for all faith and practice. If we don't, now listen, I don't mean to spend much time right there, but if we don't have a standard, think about what chaos is going to come into the church and into our country and into our world if there's no standard. If there's no standard to line up with, then it's opening the floodgates of philosophy and psychology, and it's opening the floodgates of opinions, and just, you know, whatever you want to think is be fine. But I'm glad we've got a standard. I'm glad we've got a standard. Amen? And listen, this Bible honors God, and God honors this book. If you can look in this Bible and your salvation is there, it's verified there, guess what? God will back His Word. God cannot lie. Amen? But we're talking about if you examine yourself, first of all, we talked about, and I'm not going to re-preach it, but just mention it. The first thing you should see when you examine yourself is the Word of God. The Word of God working in you effectually that believe. Amen. So, just evaluate yourself in regards to the Word of God. Number two, we talked about that you, if you examine yourself, you should be able to see the work of God. The initial work, the day you got saved, and the continual work, day after day since then, you know, because the Bible said He will perform that good work. Remember I quoted Philippians 1 and verse 6 this morning, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Well, I remember preaching on that here at the church. It got real high that night in the service. You remember that, Brother David? On the work of God. But there's an initial work, there's a continual work, and then one day there'll be a completed work. He will finish up His plans for your life. You say, preacher, what's the end result supposed to be? 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So there is what God is working. When He saved you, He started a work in you of Christ-likeness. He started a work. Now, when He found you and me, there was very little Christ-likeness. Say amen right there. There's very little. In other words, He had His work cut out for Him. He had His work cut out for Him. But you know what? He loves you to the point and loves me to the point that He's willing to not look at us at what we were, but to look at us at what He could make us to be. Hallelujah. Isn't that a blessing? If He would have tried to have loved me for what I was only, it would have been pretty tough. But you know what? He loved me for what I was and when I was that. Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So He loved us even while we were sinners. But He loved us because He could see us in the finished picture. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And He sees the big picture. So when He saved you, He began a work in you at that moment, and daily He's working in your life to bring you to that condition of Christ-likeness. And the longer you've been saved, the more of that work should be visible. You should be able to see it in your own life. You should be see the change taking place. See, the world, I don't want to get hung up on this, y'all pray for me. The world's word is reformation. That's a change that comes from the outside. You know, the world thinks that's the solution. Reform you. Reformation. We'll fix you from the outside. We'll put you in a different environment. Reformation. But God's word is not reformation. God's word is transformation. That's a change that comes from the inside. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I like that. Amen. Because see, it's not the outside's the problem. See, man wants to reform you. That is, start from the outside and hopefully work in. That don't work. That's the cart before the horse. Jesus says, I know what the problem is. It's not the outside, it's the inside. And so I'm going to go directly to the root of the problem of the heart. I'm going to deal with the heart.
I'm going to save them. I'm going to give them a new nature. I'm going to give them a new life. I'm going to forgive their sins. And I'm going to initiate a work of Christ-likeness. I'm going to initiate a sanctifying work in their life. Amen. Amen. So, but when you examine yourself, you ought to see the work of God. And then as we introduced this morning toward the close of the service, when you examine yourself, you should be able to see, and I believe you will be able to see, if you're saved, you will see the witness of God. Now that's where we're going to start and pick up tonight, and hopefully we'll be able to get done with it. Whether we will or not, I don't know. We'll just see. But the Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's what the Bible says. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness with your spirit. And I dealt with that this morning. How that your spirit, your human spirit, is when you get saved, is quickened and made alive. And thus God's Holy Spirit and your spirit connects. And my friend, there's a witness between them. There's an agreement between them. I thought about it some more this afternoon even. How that man cannot know God except on a spiritual level. Because God is a spirit. You can't work your way to God. You can't, through any human means, get to God, because that wouldn't be a spiritual level. That would not be a spiritual path. Amen. So we've got to know God the way God is. God is a spirit, and we've got to have our spirit made alive and quickened. Now let me make some statements here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Let me just make this bold statement here. It's very simple, but very true. Every saved, born-again person, everyone, possesses the Holy Spirit. No exceptions. I want to just lay that out simple. That's in the Word of God, brought out several times. There's nobody saved that does not have within them the Holy Spirit. Nobody. So what I'm dealing with here covers all the bases. Amen. And by the way, just let me mention this. The book of Jude talks about salvation being a common salvation. Remember that? Verse 3, he talked about it being a common salvation. There's not a salvation A, a salvation B, and a salvation C. There's not a multiple choice. Well, I was worse than others, so I need an A salvation. And I wasn't so bad, somebody might think, so I need a B salvation. No. Or I'm not an American. I'm from wherever. And so I don't really need a B. I need an A. Or I need a C. That'd be chaos. That'd be confusion. Best thing to do is just preach it like the Bible says it. There's only one way to God. There's only one salvation. Jesus said, I am the door. Not a door, but I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In the ark that Noah built, there was one door. Illustrating the truth that Jesus claimed in John 10 and verse 9 when he said, I am the door. But every saved person, whether it be a boy or a girl or a mom or a daddy or a grandparent, every saved person, regardless to nationality, regardless to denomination, regardless to race, everyone possesses the Spirit of God if you're saved. All right, let's read some verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. I'll give you just a moment to find your place. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What does that Bible say? That verse declares that we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. So it's just a verse to let us know, proof text, that God is in the believer.
Look on in the same book, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 16. The Bible says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" I want to ask you, how much plainer can that be? I'm trying to establish a very simple truth that every saved person possesses the Holy Spirit. He said there that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. All right? All right, listen to this verse. In John chapter 14 and verse 26, if you don't want to turn, just maybe jot it down and for future reference you can study when you get home or read it when you get home. John chapter 14 in verse number 16. "And I pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you." And we know who that Comforter is, verse 26, "but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost." So we found again that if you're saved, you have within you the Holy Spirit. Now think about it. If that is, and I've got some more verses, if that is in the Word of God so plainly given that every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not His. And that verse is in Romans 8 and verse 9. Listen to it. Just write it. Write the reference down. Romans 8 and verse 9. "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." He is none of His. Listen to this verse. 1 John 3 and verse 24. "And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." We know that we're saved because He's given us of His Spirit. 1 John 4, verse 13. "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." Now listen, folks, that don't even require interpretation. That doesn't require nothing but just reading it. It plainly says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us." How do we know that we dwell in Him and He in us? How? Because He hath given us of His Spirit. I say again, if you examine yourself, my friend, you will see the Spirit of God in you if He's there. Now watch this. All right, let's get these verses. Now I'm going to go a little bit more in detail on these verses. In fact, I want you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. I want you to look at these verses with me tonight, just for a few minutes. I'm gonna spend just a little bit of extra time other than just reading these verses. Galatians, well, I like the Word of God. Don't you love it? Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4. Has everybody got your place? Say amen. Galatians 4. Verse number 4. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Note this verse. "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts." Watch this. "Crying, Abba, Father." Now, if you want an English equivalent to the word Abba, it's the word Papa. God, because we are sons, that is, we're saved, we're sons and daughters of God, because we're children of God, God hath sent forth the Spirit, capital S,
the Spirit of His Son into your heart, whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. I got a hold of that one day. And that boy, that blessed me. Everybody knows that Jesus Christ can address God as Father. Everybody knows that. Well, sure. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. Sure, He can address God as Father. Sure, He can. But here's the part that should bless us. Amen. The Bible says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts where you cry, Abba, Father. In other words, what ranked and qualified Jesus to be able to address the Father as Father, He took that same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, and put Him in your heart, and now you and I can address God as Father just like Jesus can. Well, that right there ought to fire you up. That ought to bless you, amen. You too, if you're saved, possess the Spirit of His Son. Now, no, I quoted a while ago Romans 8, 9. Read it, in fact. If you look at that verse, if you're not careful, you'll just read over what I'm about to show you. Where the Bible said that we were not in the flesh, but we were in the Spirit. And the Bible says there in Romans 8, 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. See, he emphasized that. He didn't just say, if any man have not the Spirit. He said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ. Galatians 4, it was the Spirit of His Son that was put into our heart that qualifies us as sons of God. Amen. Amen. That might be a little deep for some of you, but that's all right. Just get what you can get. Amen. Get what you can get. Amen. Watch this. We're fixing to go a little deeper. Watch this right here. Boy, I sing this about blessing socks off. Amen. Galatians chapter number 4. And verse 4, note this statement. About middle ways of the verse, the Bible said this statement, God sent forth. How many see that? God sent forth His Son. Verse 4. Looky here. Y'all ready? Let me spot it here. Look in verse, let's see. God sent forth His Son. And then verse number 6. And because you're sons, here it comes again. God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son. So one verse you have the God of heaven sending forth His Son. And then in verse 6 you have the God of heaven sending forth the Spirit of His Son. I submit to you there's no difference. You can't have the Son without having the Spirit of the Son. The same God that sent the Son sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart, qualifying you to be able to pray and be able to address God as Father. If we could get a hold of that, we'd probably have to turn that field running laps around the building saying, Glory! Now watch this right here. The Son and the Spirit of His Son are inseparable. Now jot it down some things. Well, Lord showed them to me. Listen to them. You ready? Say amen. The Son and the Spirit of His Son are inseparable. You can't have one without the other. Here's, listen to this. And I put them both together in some statements. They both were sent into this world by God for a specific purpose. The Son was sent. The Spirit of His Son was sent. Number two. Both were sent in a supernatural birth. God sent forth His Son. Here it is, made of a woman. God sent forth His Son into the world, but it through the virgin womb of Mary. A supernatural birth. You say, I don't believe in the virgin birth. Let read my lips. You are not saved. If you do not believe in the virgin birth, explain it? No. None of us can. I can't even explain my physical birth. How am I going to explain my new birth? I can't explain my physical birth. How am I going to explain the virgin birth? But it's in that book, and I believe it. Amen. A lot of people so go through that Bible and discredits this and throws that out and say this is not legit and that's not right. Well, what do you want to do that for? Because if you start saying this shouldn't be in there and this is not right and this is not a good rendering and this is what you're doing is you're destroying the Bible. And then it's going to be left up. If you do that, you're going to leave it up to the individual to decide if this is or this is not the Word of God. The Bible does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And we stand firm on that because it's the standard. Amen? It's the standard. Forgot why I got on that track there and forgot what I was dealing with. Amen. The virgin birth. Amen. Thank you, brother. Can't explain it, but I believe it. Amen. One fella told Brother Billy Kelly one time in the barbershop, he said, I'll have you know, I don't believe that Jonah swallowed a whale. That's what he said. That's what he said. He said, I'll just have you know, he's trying to start an argument with that preacher. He said, I'll have you know, I don't believe God, Jonah swallowed the whale. And he said, sir, the Bible didn't say Jonah swallowed the whale. The Bible said the whale swallowed Jonah. But he said, if the Bible did say that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd still believe it. Amen. Amen. Glory. Boy, there's freedom comes to your heart. If you just say, I like it all, I want it all, I receive it all. It's the Word of the living God. Amen. Now watch this right here. They both came in a supernatural birth. Jesus came through the virgin birth. If you take away the virgin birth of Christ, you destroy His deity. You take His qualification away from being the Savior. Because if He was a virgin born, then He must have been the son of some man, and that would have contaminated Him. That would have given Him a human blood. That would have caused Him to be disqualified. He would have been an imperfect sacrifice. Amen. They both were sent, and they come here in this world through a birth, supernatural birth. Jesus came through a virgin birth. Holy Spirit comes through the new birth. Amen. When you get saved, thank God, the Holy Spirit of God moves in and takes up residence. Oh, people that I've met and you've met that said, well, preacher, I would get saved, but I can't live it. Oh, preacher, I would get saved, but I can't live it. You're telling the truth. You can't live it. But here's the Bible truth. Here's the Bible truth. When you get saved, God puts His life in you. God puts His Spirit in you, and my friend, to live it through you. None of us could live the Christian life. None of us. None of us could live the Christian life 24 hours. But thank God, God put in us His Spirit. God puts in us His life. And brother, all you have to do is make sure you stay out of the way. Make sure you stay out of the way, and God will live it through you, praise God. Amen. Well, I got to hurry. I didn't mean to get hung up right there. Here's the third one. Both of them, both His Son and the Spirit of His Son, were sent to bring about a spiritual birth or salvation. Jesus was sent to purchase it. The Holy Spirit was sent to perform it. Don't let that bless you too much. The Bible, you said, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that verse where it said God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. In your heart. Amen. The Spirit of His Son was sent. The Son was sent. The Spirit of His Son was sent. Both of them were sent into this world for the purpose of bringing about salvation in you and salvation in me. Jesus was sent to purchase it. The Spirit of God was sent to perform it. Amen. Boy, I like that. Amen. All right, listen to this. Of course, Jesus, I like this. This is another way I looked at it. Jesus was sent to exhibit the Christian life before man. If you want to know what a Christian is, look at Jesus. Don't look at me. Amen. Don't look at others. We're faulty. We're not the example. We're to try to be the example. We should try to be an example to others. Like Paul said, be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul qualified himself as being a one to be followed only as he follows Christ. Are you listening? And watch this right here. Boy, my mind's going 100 miles an hour. Amen. What little bit I've got's going. Amen. What little bit's up there, it's going wide open. Amen. But listen, Jesus was sent to exhibit, put on display, the Christian life. The Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of His Son, is sent to execute that life. Holy Spirit is wanting to do that in your life and mine. And He is doing that. He's trying to do that in your life and mine if we're saved. Bring about more and more and more and more of Christ-likeness. All right, let's move on. Here's you another one. Just some simple things for you to think about. Of course, this is simple. Without both the Son and the Spirit of His Son, there is no salvation. A lot of people are claiming to have His Son, Jesus, but they don't have the Spirit of His Son. They don't have that Christ-likeness. Amen? The Spirit of Christ, that incorporates His attitude, His actions, all of it. His commitment to God, that was His Spirit. That was the Spirit of Christ. He said, I must always do those things that please Him. He said, I must be about my Father's business. He uttered the words, not my will, but thy will be done. That was the Spirit of His Son. It was a spirit of submission. It was a spirit of holiness. It was a spirit of righteousness. That's the Spirit of His Son. Amen. All right, listen here. Here's another way. Jesus came in. Oh, this is good. Jesus came, He was sent, and He came and lived in a family. He came into a family. And so does the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of His Son was sent to indwell a family. The family of God. The people of God. Amen? Amen. That's good. Jesus came. Listen to this. Jesus' ministry and work was not done in secret. Well, this is a good little point right here. Jesus, when He was sent, it was visible, it was announced, it was public. God wanted it to be known that my Son Jesus is on planet Earth, sent to do the business of purchasing our salvation. Are you listening? Even at His birth, God had a big bright star that moved. And when it moved, it guided the wise men and all to where Jesus was. And then once it got to Jesus, it just stopped. You said, preacher, I've never seen nothing like that. No, and you won't. God just put that little extra something there to just say, hey, this little baby's born is extra special. And listen, when he was baptized, God spoke from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Mount of Transfiguration the same. God, listen, when Jesus was sent, follow me here. When Jesus was sent, brother, to this world, and verse 4 said God sent forth His Son, did it not? Jesus was sent and it was public, it was visible, it was real, it was active. The same God that sent forth His Son like that also sends forth the Spirit of His Son. It is to be a very visible, it's to be a very real, it's to be a very active thing in the life of a believer. It's just as real. Listen to me. The Spirit of His Son being sent is just as real as the Son being sent. Amen. 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 Of course, both ministries, the one of His Son and the Spirit of His Son, both were rejected by the flesh and by the natural man. Let me ask you a question this evening. How many of you doubt the realness of Jesus? How many of you ever in this building, you doubt whether Jesus was ever born, that Jesus was ever here, that Jesus ever came, that He ever died, that He was ever buried, that He ever rose again? You've never doubted that. Not a hand. Not a hand. I've never, not even before I got saved, ever doubted that Jesus wasn't real and that what all that says about the Bible was real. Never doubted it. But watch this. The same Father, same God that sent forth His Son, and we don't doubt it. We don't doubt it that God sent forth His Son. Same God sent forth the Spirit of His Son. And how many is having a hard time seeing Him in their life and believing that He's even there? You'll have to think about that one a little bit. Amen. Now watch this right here. When the Holy Spirit comes in, I'll tell you what He's going to do. When the Holy Spirit comes in, He's going to set, listen, He's going to bring in His characteristics. He's going to bring in His personality with Him. Amen. When the Holy Spirit comes in, I'm going to say it again, He's going to bring with Him, when He moves in and takes up residence in a repenting, believing sinner, when He comes in and takes up residence, He's going to bring in His personality with Him. He's going to bring in His characteristics with Him. Think about this. Listen, this is good. When you study in that Bible where people were demon-possessed, let's just take, for instance, the demoniac of Gadara. Legion. He acted outwardly based on the spirit or spirits that was in him. The spirit, those spirits, listen, they were called unclean spirits. When those spirits took up residence in that man, Legion, he began to look like, talk like, act like, behave like the spirit that was in him. Y'all see where I'm going. When you and I are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, He brings in His characteristics. He brings in His personality. He brings in His, my friend, His control. And you and I that are possessed by the Holy Spirit ought to start looking like He's in there, acting like He's in there, talking like He's in there, and behaving like He's in there. Amen. I say like I did this morning, where is the Holy Ghost in a lot of people's lives? Where is it? You can identify people in the New Testament, listen, that Jesus dealt with, that had different spirits, and you know, foul spirits and unclean spirits and dumb spirits. The man that was dumb, couldn't talk, he had a dumb spirit in him. Bible says so. Duh. Dumb spirit, dumb man. You know why? He had taken on the characteristic of the spirit that was in him. You know what a sin revival does? You know what would outbreak a heaven-sent revival at RBT? Is if those of us that are indwelt by the Holy Spirit would allow His characteristics, allow, my friend, His personality to start being exhibited in our life. Holy Spirit, holy man. Holy Spirit, holy woman. Amen. What's this right here? I'm talking about, brother, if you examine yourself, you should be able to see the Holy Spirit in you. Now, I'm not going to preach these, but I am going to mention them. Listen, you can tell by the titles of the Holy Spirit what kind of spirit's in you and what kind of actions you ought to have. Let me just give them to you. He's called the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. So He's going to produce holiness. Romans 1:4, He's called the Spirit of Holiness. So I promise you, if the Holy Spirit is inside of you, He's going to be working. He's going to be working to bring about holiness in your life. Purity. Now listen, friend, I know this is elementary to some, but it's in the Bible. God's people hate sin. Not before salvation. Before salvation, we was like anybody else. We loved it. We loved sin. We loved it, brother. Just like the sow in the mire and the dog returning to the vomit. We loved it. We loved sin. But I tell you, when you get saved, friend, God changes your attitude toward sin. You begin to hate what you once loved, and you begin to love what you once hate. God brings a change in your life. Show me somebody that claims to be saved and they love sin. Love it. Love it. Live for it. Make plans to get in it every week. Spend their paycheck on it. And I'll tell you, a person that's masterly deceived, they don't know God. They wouldn't know God if he walked in a red suit. Saved people are people that's interested in holiness. Now, we've not all arrived. I thought I'd let you know that while I've been preaching, I've been looking, I've not seen a halo in the house. I just thought I'd ease our mind. Y'all don't see one up there, do you? You see one, brother? Amen. I know better than ask my wife. Amen. Ain't no halo on this head. Are you listening? No. No halo on my head. And there's none on yours. None of us are sprouting wings. But I tell you this truth, buddy. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God... I'm talking about the night I got saved. Before that night, Brother David, I was wicked as a devil. I'm ashamed of it too. But the night... I'm not talking about over a process of months. I'm talking about the night, buddy, I got saved. God cleaned up my talk. God, I'm talking about the night I got saved. God changed my mind and changed my attitude toward the music I listened to. The night I got saved. Now listen, I hadn't been to no seminars. They hadn't been nobody taught me nothing. The night I got saved, I knew that the music I was listening to wasn't right. You said you give them away? Why is that? I didn't want other people to be a partaker of my sin. I went down to the dumpster, and I didn't throw them in, afraid somebody would get them. I laid them out in two rows, the same width as my tires on my truck. And I made sure when I passed over them, they was inoperable. I'm talking about the night I got saved. You said, preacher, that was, somebody told you to. Yeah, somebody did. Except the voice wasn't coming from exterior. It was coming from the interior. It was the Holy Ghost, amen. I'm talking about the night I got saved. Now, I'm not going to go in details. I'm ashamed of my life. I am ashamed of my past. But I was doing things. My friend, I was doing things. Listen, and the night I got saved, God showed me and put it in me that ain't right and put a dislike in me toward it. I know some don't believe that, but it don't matter if you believe it or not. I was there. It happened to me. It happened to me. And I can say this, by the grace of God, I hope y'all understand that what I'm about to say is by the grace of God, Brother Mike, it's been 27 and a half years, not once has a curse word even slipped out of my mouth. And they were regular before I got saved. Regular. Not once. Not once even slipped. Mash my finger, get your hand caught in the door. If it's in there, it'll come out. It's not in there. Now, I mean, listen, and I didn't train. Some of you have heard me. Some of you have heard me when something startled me or shocked me or whatever. What do I say a lot of times? Brother, you've heard me. Yeah, that's what I say. That's right. Somebody would give me one of them little old guns. He said, here, look at my new little old gun. One of them about that long. Over at the fellowship hall. Y'all remember that? Wasn't that a little old gun, Brother Ivan? Yeah. They said, here, look at my little old gun. It's one about that long. It wasn't about that long. They said, here, preacher, look at it. I said, boy, it's real good if you pull the trigger. I said, okay, I'll pull the trigger. And son, I pulled that trigger, and son, it lit me up. I hate being shocked. I can't even stand a 9-volt battery. I don't want to be shocked in no form or fashion. I can't stand to be shocked. I hate it. I hate that feeling worse than anything. And I'm telling you what's the truth. I throwed that gun. I don't know where it went. But they weren't nothing. What would I have done if I'd have let out about a 2 or 3 worder right there? And I didn't have time to think about what should I say. Now that I'm shocked, I'm on fire, I've lit up, I should better watch what I say. Somebody's around what? No. It just automatic. Oh, glory to God. Amen. I didn't program myself to do that. I've never sat up at night thinking, all right, now if you get hit or if you get shocked or get your hand slapped up in the door, now make sure you stay focused and say, glory to God. I don't do that. It just comes out. I magnify the grace of God, friend, at the change that He brought about in my life. Not one time since I've been saved. Now I want you to listen to me. Not one time since I've been saved. And I'm magnifying the grace of God because in me is the Holy Spirit. But not one time since I've been saved have I desired, not even desired, another drop of alcohol. Not even desired another drop. Not once, not even once, even on my worst days of being saved, not once did I ever desire any marijuana or none of that junk. Not once. You said, preacher, what in the world? Who in the world is better than
Who could take a person that for 20 years had lived their life in that garbage and lived their life doing those things? Who could take it in one night, one trip to the altar and change him forever? It has to be God. It is God. The Holy Ghost of God lives in the believer. And He's working to change your mind about sin and cause you to hate it. And cause you to love righteousness. Lord, I told you, I apologize, I lied to you. I said I wasn't going to preach on them. I just going to mention them. I can't help it. It came out. He's called the Spirit of Christ. I've done dealt with that. He's called the Spirit of God. He's called the Spirit of life. If you possess the Holy Spirit, where's the life at? I say that generally. Apply it, if you will. He's the Spirit of life, Romans 8 and verse 2. He's called the Spirit of faith. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, He's called the Spirit of faith. He's called the Spirit of truth in John 14, 15, and 16. One verse each chapter. He's called the Spirit of love, 2 Timothy 1:7. He's called the Spirit of power in 2 Timothy 1:7. Brother, when He comes in, He brings all that with Him. He's called the Spirit of a sound mind in 2 Timothy 1:7. He brings that with Him. Brings that with Him. If He's in there, surely you ought to be able to find Him. If He's in there. Amen. Let me deal with this. I've got to try to deal with this. I've got more to preach than I can get preached tonight. He is the witness. We're talking about if you examine yourself, you see the witness of God. The witness of God in you. What does a witness do? Boy, this is good. Lord, give this to me yesterday. You know what a witness does? Let's see if I can find it right here. I'm just trying to skip over some things of what a witness... here it is. A witness, the Holy Spirit is a witness. He sent forth the Spirit to witness with our... bear witness with our spirit. A witness knows and confirms the fact of a happening. Lord gave me that little saying, little definition. A witness is someone who knows and is able to confirm the fact of a happening. If you take a witness into the courtroom and they get up and say, well, I kind of think, you know, I'm not real sure, but I might have heard something. Get out. We're not interested in what you think. We're not interested in what you thought. We're interested in what you know. Did you see something? Did you see something? Do you know for a fact the thing happened? If you do, tell us about it. If you're a witness, tell us about it. The Holy Spirit is a witness. He bears witness with my spirit that the fact happened that I'm saved. He was there. I was there. Amen. Boy, it's good to know you're saved. God help us. I hope everybody in here knows you're saved. Amen. I really do. Lost people, let me just deal with this. I'm not going to get done. I'll just have to quit. Lost people are dead unto God, but alive unto sin. But saved people are dead unto sin and alive unto God. Romans 6:1. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? A person that's saved, come on, listen to me. A person that is saved does not live in sin. 1 John 3:6, one of many verses. 1 John 3:6, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That word, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, doesn't mean they're perfect, that they're sinless, but it means that they don't habitually practice sin. Amen. The difference, what's this? You know the difference between a person that's alive and a person that's dead? Oh, preacher, now this is getting rude. Well, you're insulting our intelligence by asking us, how can you tell the difference between a dead person and a live person? You know what the distinguishing difference is? Well, of course, preacher, one's alive, one's dead. No. Why is that person dead? The one that's dead, why are they dead? And the person that's alive, why are they alive? One's got a spirit, and the other one don't. The dead person does not possess the Spirit. Ecclesiastes says the Spirit goes back to God who gave it. When that Spirit moves out, you're dead. When your human spirit pulls out, you're dead. And the only reason you're alive here tonight is because you've got your spirit still in you. Amen? That's true in the physical. It's also true in the spiritual. You know what's different between sinners and saved people? Sinners are dead in trespass and sin. Saved people are resurrected and quickened and made alive. You know what's the difference between the two? Spirit. Saved people's got the Spirit. Lost people don't have the Spirit. That's good. I think that's good. I think we're in a good Bible study here on the subject. I think so. Can I give you this right here? How many still with me? Let me check. Oh, it's just 7:30. Daylight. Still doing good. Did you know everything of the believers in heaven? Boy, that's good. If you get a hold of this, you're liable to say, whoop. You get a hold of this, you'd love to say, hallelujah. Everything for the believers in heaven. My Father's in heaven. My Savior is in heaven. The blood of Christ is in heaven. It's not in you. It's not on you. It's in heaven. For you. My name's in heaven. Jesus said, rejoice if your name is written down in heaven. My Father's in heaven. My Savior's in heaven. The blood of Christ is in heaven. My name is in heaven. Millions of my family is in heaven. My citizenship is in heaven. Come on now. We'll have to shout here in a minute. My citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3 and verse 20. For our conversation or citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God. Ephesians 3:15. Of whom the whole family in heaven, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Let me give you this. All those things are in heaven and many other things. But my salvation's in heaven. Lord, give this to me yesterday coming home. I about shouted. My salvation is in heaven. Not in here. Now get this. If you get a hold of this, you'll have a shout. If my salvation was in here, I'd mess it up. If my salvation was on earth, somebody would mess it up. But my salvation is out of the reach of man. It's in heaven. Amen. Jesus is my salvation. Where's He at? Everything that equates my salvation is in heaven except one thing. The Holy Spirit. What's this right here? I don't know if some of you are getting that or not. But anyway, might stir up some muddy waters. Y'all think about it a little bit. My salvation. Holy Spirit has been sent from heaven where my salvation is. The Holy Spirit has been sent from heaven into me at the point of conversion to confirm in me what's in heaven. The Holy Spirit is in me as the earnest and as the seal, confirming in me, letting me know what is going on up there. I don't have to go to heaven though I'm saved. I know I'm saved because God has done sent the Spirit of heaven into my heart, letting me know as a seal and as an earnest what happened up there. It's God's guarantee that the deal is done. Now that may not bless you, that may not do a thing for you, but it blesses me to know that my salvation is in heaven. My salvation is in heaven. And God has sent forth His Spirit into me, thank God, to let me know the deal is done, that I am truly saved. That my name is really in heaven. My name is in heaven. My Savior's in heaven. The blood in heaven has been applied to my record, and it is there for me. All because the Holy Spirit's in me. Glory to God. I like it.
And the Holy Spirit is sealed in me. How long? Until the day of redemption. Holy Spirit is sealed in me. Boy, that's good. I like it. Don't you? I like that. The Spirit of God confirms my relationship with the Father. The Holy Spirit seals me. You know what a seal is? Can I give you this? Just give me a few minutes. You know what the Holy Spirit is? The Holy Spirit is said to be a seal. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4, 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. 2 Corinthians 1, 22. Who also hath sealed us and given unto us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is the seal. What is a seal? I want you to get this. The seal is a mark of ownership. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not His. The Spirit of God is the seal, a mark of ownership. It is a true mark that God owns you, that you belong to God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then the mark of our ownership and identification is not on you. Now watch this. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:12, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The seal, the Holy Spirit in you, is a mark of ownership. It's a mark of identification. When Jesus comes back, He's coming only, listen, He's coming only for His own. He's coming for those He owns. Who are those that own? He owns those that have the seal in them. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed them.
Amen. Now watch this right here. That word seal meant something to the Ephesian believers. Brother J.R. can relate to this somewhat. The seal meant something to the Ephesians. It was a city with extensive trade in timber, carried on by the shipmasters. The merchant, after selecting and purchasing his timber, stamped it with his own signet, which acknowledged, "These are mine." But he wouldn't take them away at that point, but rather left them in the harbor, still bearing the mark of his ownership, the mark of his identification. And later on, in due time, the merchant would send to get every one of the timbers that had this signet on it. He would come to get what had been purchased and what belonged to him. How would he identify them? The signet, the seal, the mark was on those logs, those timbers. When the Lord comes back, I've been purchased already. I've been sealed already, but I'm still here. He's going to come and get me one day. How's He know to get me? I've got His seal. He's coming looking for His mark. And His mark is the Holy Spirit on the inside. Wasn't that good? That's wonderful. That's really good. I like that. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our salvation. Earnest means down payment, pledge, promise, a guarantee. The Holy Spirit is the one that confirms and certifies and assures me that I am indeed a believer and that I have the rights and title to heavenly glory. Hallelujah. So it does mean something when the Holy Spirit's in you. And it sure means a whole lot if the Holy Spirit is not in you. Are you saved tonight? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? I will say this. If you examine yourself, you will see the Holy Spirit in you if you're His. Somewhere through that investigation, somewhere through that exam, you'll find the Holy Spirit in you. Somewhere. Somehow.
Somewhere he's going to be in there. Amen. Amen. Examine yourself. See whether you be in the faith or not. Prove your own self. Know you not your own selves. How that Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Amen. 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 No salvation apart from the Holy Spirit. Would you agree with that? No salvation apart from the Son of God. No salvation apart from the Spirit of God. If you've accepted the Son of God, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, then you don't know the Son of God. You're not saved. That's the way it goes. When you get saved, God puts His Holy Spirit in you to live out through you and to carry out the will of God. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention.